Hi everyone! Welcome to How Did You Gain a Testimony? I interview all different kinds of people to figure out how they gained a testimony in hopes that you can relate to one of them and find comfort in their journey. Finding Jesus Christ is different for everyone, and I hope all these different stories can help you. Today I interview Logan Schultz. I met him recently and his testimony shines through his actions. It's crazy. Logan just graduated high school in Freeport, Maine, and is preparing to serve a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In this episode, Logan shares multiple spiritual experiences that have been carefully recorded in his journals, some of the most impactful being his decision to get baptized and his decision to serve a mission. Logan gives advice for keeping the Sabbath day holy, recognizing the whisperings of the Spirit, and expresses an overall joy and love for the gospel. I'm so glad I interviewed Logan because he articulates the feeling of the Spirit so well, and he just has an incredible attitude. So, I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi everyone, I'm here with my friend Logan Schultz. Logan, do you want to give a little bit of an introduction on who you are and where you're at in life?
Yeah, I'm currently a senior at Freeport High School, which is a small seaside town in the Maine here. I'm like 30 something days away from starting my mission. I'm going to Stockholm, Sweden. Yeah, I live at home with my family. I got a cute little dog. Yeah, that's a little bit about me. Yeah, that's all I can think of.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Logan. My first question that I want to ask you is, what was your life like growing up, like your childhood, and what part did the gospel play in that?
What was my childhood like? I come from a dope family, first of all. Like, shout out to my mom and dad. They're awesome. I love them with all my heart. Has a lot of order and structure. Likes things to be her way. And my dad is very much more open and chill and more like a go with the flow. He's the big dreamer of our family. He has a lot of dreams and visions that he's like, oh, I totally want to do this. And these are the things that we're going to do in life. And my mom is very much like, how are we going to get there? You know, what are we going to eat tonight? She's more the realist. So it's been a very interesting dynamic in my house, but I've learned from my mom to have plans and set goals and take actionable steps to get those goals. And from my dad, I've learned how to think big. And it's been cool to have both sides, because I think that both sides offer valuable skills. The other thing about having parents as different as they are is it's led to a lot of contention in our home. And yeah, this is something that it comes and goes, I mean, as it does in most families. But I've learned how to understand and read people better, I guess. For example, when I was younger, and I know I've told you this already, but this is for all the newbies out there.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, my mom and I used to fight all the time, because when I'm, you know, my little fifth, sixth grade self, what I want is how it's going to go down. But as I already said, what my mom wants is how it really goes down. So my mom would come home after a day of like work, and she really likes a clean house. That's just something about my mom. She likes the house to be clean. And I love to leave my shoes in the entryway. You can see where this is going.
Yeah.
So my mom would come home after her day of, you know, doing whatever, whether she's at work or just out running errands or whatever she's doing. And she would come home and see this mess of shoes that I'd left in front of the door, you know, in the entryway. And we used to get so mad at each other, because I'd be like, but mom, like, I'm going to put the shoes on again in 3 seconds. I just left them at the door just to come inside to do my thing. And I'm going to go right back outside. And she'd be like, but it drives me crazy when I'm walking in the door and I'm tripping over your shoes. Like, just pick them up. Take 2 seconds to put them where they're supposed to go. And for the longest time, it got on my nerves, until I realized that, hey, wait, my mom is a person. She likes things a certain way, just like I like things a certain way.
Yeah.
And how can we work together to synergize. So it's what do you want? What do I want? And how can we make both get what we want and more? Yeah. So that neither of us has to compromise. And so that was something that I learned pretty early on. I think that's a very valuable skill, how to work with people and that sort of thing.
How did the gospel play into this dynamic with your parents?
So both my parents were very self-taught, if you will. So for example, when my mom turned 18, she graduated high school and she left home immediately. She wasn't a member at the time, just as preface. My dad, when he grew up in an LDS home, and when he was 14, he felt that it wasn't best for him to stay at home, or safest for him to stay at home. So he left his house at a really young age as well. The circumstances of their lives made them very independent people.
Yeah.
And that dynamic of being independent has distinctly carried over into the home environment that they've created.
Mm-hmm.
So how that applies to the gospel is my whole life, my parents have never forced me to go to church. There's never been an expectation for me to read the Book of Mormon. You know, they wouldn't love me any less. And, yes. And it's just, it's very much been independent.
Yeah.
So as an example of this, when I was 8 years old, my family was like, all right, Logan, you're turning 8 years old. Like, are you going to get baptized? So we all came together as a family, and we spent, I don't know, a couple months reading the Book of Mormon together as a family. And at the end of that, however long it was, we invited the missionaries over. And my parents were like, okay, Logan, well, now it's time. You've read the Book of Mormon. We need you to pray about this. And if it's true, then be baptized. And if it's not, then I don't know. You know, so the missionaries came over and we all knelt down in a circle. And the missionary said, all right, Logan, here's what we want you to do. They were elders at the time. And he said, Logan, have you ever just said a prayer asking if the Book of Mormon, if the church is true? And I said, no, I haven't ever just prayed for that specifically. I mean, I've prayed for that in other things, like, you know, please bless my family, and then also this, and then also this. Oh, and it also, is the church true, you know?
Yeah.
But in that moment on that floor with my family and the elders, they looked at me and they said, no, we need you to just ask Heavenly Father, like, is this the true church? Are these things that you've been reading true? You know, is the Book of Mormon real? And so we knelt down and I just said this little prayer. I said, Heavenly Father, is the church true? Is the Book of Mormon true? Has what I have been reading, do I feel something? Is it right?
Yeah.
And there was just an overwhelming feeling of yes. Yes, it is. And that was a super powerful experience for me that I got to have because my parents never forced me to do anything.
Yeah. You know,
they let that sort of growth and individual development happen, and they encouraged it, obviously, but it wasn't ever forced.
Yeah.
And that's something that I so appreciate about having the gospel taught to me that way in my home, is that I am fully reliant on my own testimony. And it's tough out here in New England because I'm one of five members in my whole church. So there are a couple, I would say that there's one thing that I could say I could point to learning how the Holy Ghost speaks to me. And in fact, I think that I was better at discerning it back then, even than I am now, I feel like, to some extent.
Yeah.
So when I was really little, my parents bought picture scriptures. Picture scriptures are elite. If there's any parents out there listening, get picture scriptures. They're so good. I love them. Anyway, so they are just basically not dumbed down, but simplified scriptures that have these illustrations, and they go through different stories in the Book of Mormon and the New Testament and the Old Testament. And I don't know if there's any Doctrine and Covenants ones, but the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I kept these scriptures in my room. And whenever I would be in my room, whether having been sent there by my mom after we were arguing about shoes, or whether I was just in my room just for whatever, or, you know, for whatever other reason, I would read these scriptures. You know, and this is like from me very first learning how to read up until, I don't even know. I still sometimes look at picture scriptures just because it just brings me back. So anyways, I would go in and I would read. And I think that constant reading is what really helped me to understand how the Spirit speaks to me. Because yeah. I would go into my room upset at my mom or my dad or my siblings. I'd be like, oh, you know, Dietrich took my toy, you know, like, dang it. And I'd be sent to my room, and then I would go in there angry, and I would take 5, 10, 15 minutes, an hour, just reading these scriptures. And there were times that I would come out of my room like sobbing. I'd be like, I'm so sorry, like, will you please forgive me, I didn't mean it. Just my demeanor had been completely changed by spending that time with the scriptures. And I think that I started to realize that, like, subconsciously I would, and it's taken me since then to realize that what I was feeling was the Spirit. But I think that in my youth I just knew that I would go in there angry, and I would spend some time reading the scriptures, and I would feel better after. And I think that was very much how the Spirit spoke to me. And, you know, and I think it changes over time, but particularly like at that age, it was very much, I feel good when I read the scriptures. Yeah. When the Spirit witnessed to me that the Book of Mormon was true, you know, after I'd read the actual thing, I felt good. Like, I just wanted to laugh, and there was just this warmth all inside my body. You know,
that's such an incredible way to describe it. I love that. How do you not second guess the Spirit, or like the feelings and the promptings that you've received?
So there are some things that in the scriptures how it says that some people are just blessed with certain witnesses of some things.
Yeah.
I don't know why me, but I have been blessed to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that I have heavenly parents. And that is just something that I have never doubted once. And that has been a huge blessing in to me in my life, and to others that, you know, that I've been able to help minister to and teach. But there's just never been, and I'm sure that there will be, you know, it's, you know, everyone goes through challenges, and it just hasn't been my time yet. But in my life thus far, it's just always been a witness to me that I have, like, I have heavenly parents, and Jesus Christ is there for me. And that has been a huge base. I mean, that's the base layer of a testimony.
Yeah. And
so when I've had that, I can, even when I doubt things, like my testimony of Joseph Smith, it took me a couple times to really think about, hey, wait, is this true? You know, I visited Palmyra a couple times, and, you know, reading the Book of Mormon and reading more about Joseph Smith's life. And, you know, it took me a while. But even if I wasn't 100% certain that I had a testimony of what he did, I knew that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that I have heavenly parents that love me.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know, I'm certain I've said this like 100 times, but that's huge. Yeah, that's such a blessing for me.
Yeah.
Now as to more recent things in my life, I second guess things all the time. I mean, as I'm sure most, especially teenagers, do.
Yeah.
But something that's helped me a ton, like so much, in my, especially my high school life. Well, I started when I was a little bit younger than that. How old was I? 11 years old. That was my earliest journal entry. And since my very first journal entry at 11 years old, I have tried to record as many spiritual experiences, spiritual thoughts, anything that I can in my journal. And my journals have been a huge source of strength for me. There'll be some weeks where, I'm not really feeling much. I just feel like I suck. You know, I'm just feeling like a loser. Like I haven't been reading my scriptures as much. I missed a day or I missed a couple of days at seminary. My prayers are seeming like a chore. And I'll sit down at the end of the week and I try and force myself to write at least once a week. And I'll sit down and I'll just write it out how it is. You know, I'll say, I've been failing in this way and it's just making me feel bad. And inadvertently, I'll go back and read some of the other weeks or some of my other experiences that I've written down. And I'll look back and I'll say, or I'll read something that I've written when I've been having a good spiritual week. You know, maybe the week before I'd been, you know, reading 8 times a day. Not really, but, you know, I've been really pondering my scriptures and loving seminary and talking about spiritual things with my friends. And I'm just on like riding a spiritual high. At the end of the week, I'll record it and I'll be like, these are my thoughts. You know, this is the revelation that I've received. And certain experiences like that. Like, for example, when I prayed and I received revelation that I was supposed to go on a mission, which I can share in a little bit. But when I received that, I immediately, like the first thing I did, I went out and I told my mom because she was there. I announced it to my family. And then I immediately went down and I wrote exactly how I was feeling. You know, exactly what had happened. And I said, I need to have a witness of this so that when I need to, when I'm on my mission and I'm doubting, you know, why am I here? What am I doing with my, like, I could be in school. I could be playing lacrosse. Like, what am I doing? I can sit down and read that and say, this is why.
Yeah.
And so I think that, long story short, journaling has saved me because I can go back to the times when there was no doubt in my mind and I can bring myself back and remind myself why I wasn't doubting and why I do have a sure witness of things. So
yeah. And it's so inspirational too. Like, what an incredible benchmark to look back on and be like, oh, this was kind of like, I was in my prime. I was peaking here.
Yeah.
Like my spirituality. So that's super cool. So how did like your relationship with Heavenly Father and your testimony of his gospel help you through the trials of high school?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a brief answer, actually.
Yeah.
My testimony kept me coming back to church. And every Sunday, no matter how I was feeling during the week, I wanted to come to church every single Sunday. I don't think there's been a Sunday in all my years of high school that I haven't desperately wanted to get back to church, because I have a testimony that the gospel is real. And I know that I feel the Spirit when I go to church and I take the sacrament and I stay for classes and I participate and I play the piano or when I listen to other people play or whatever it may be. So my testimony kept me coming back to church, and the spiritual boost that I get every week at church and that I'm lucky to get every day during seminary, you know, same kind of scenario. But those spiritual boosts kept me going through any trial in high school. Like, for example, I mean, COVID, everyone talks about how bad COVID was. And yeah, it was weird, but I, like, all of my friends that I love with all of my heart today that like live out here, we developed our whole friend group because of COVID. Like, that was my, and then because of COVID, my dad stopped traveling as much. So he was home way more. And that has been so great. And that eternal perspective, or that perspective of gratitude that I get from the Spirit being with me, the Spirit that I get from being at church, has totally made my trials into positives. It's very much been that. It's like the constant companionship of the Holy Ghost that I get because I always want to go to church every week has made high school super smooth. Like, yeah. Trials, I got them.
You talked about how impactful church and the Sabbath day was for you in these trials. What did you do personally to make the Sabbath day holy?
Oh, snap. That's a good question. I love to play the piano, and I often feel the spirit through music, and piano has always been a source of ways to express my emotions, like as far back, I mean, it's like 4 or 5 years old. So I think that playing the piano on like Sundays particularly, because, you know, you come from home from church and you're just kind of like, okay, you know, what are we going to do now? It's not like we can go do, you know, anything we want. So having that day to force myself to sit down and play has really been grounding. Also, I've had the opportunity to stay not only for my church meetings from 10 till 12, but also to participate in choir after church and then stay again and play organ for the little YSA church group that meets right after our meetings in the same building. So I'm able to stay at church from 10 until, you know, 3, 4 in the afternoon, and be in that spiritual place and be with these spiritual people and just be feeling that Sabbath day, I don't know, the Sabbath day goodness for like all day, which has been awesome. And I love it so much. So I guess that to summarize, using my talents, whether they be to like play for others or just to enjoy by myself, and staying as long as I can in those spiritual places, you know, at church or you know, having spiritual discussions at home with my family. But that is how I've tried to keep the Sabbath day holy, I guess.
Wow. I hope you know that most people aren't super psyched to stay at church from 10
till 10. I know, I'm weird, okay? I know, I get it.
No, it's epic. It's super cool. So how did you decide to serve a mission? And more than that, how did you decide on the timing of your mission?
Oh, yes. Okay, wait, hang on. Let me get my scriptures. Okay, so where is this mission acceptance? Okay, so I'm just going to read my straight journal entry. So this is the very day. I hope it's all grammatically good, because this was like an immediate brain dump for me.
I
can read it now. And so this is talking about why I'm going on a mission and why I'm going on a mission in the summer. Now, as to why I'm leaving in July, that was just more like a fluke. It wasn't so much spiritual as it was I wanted to get back, still have some time at home before I left to go to BYU and before like preseason lacrosse starts and stuff like that. But as for the rest of this, here, I'll just go ahead and read it. Yeah, so I had been thinking about this last summer really, really heavily.
Yeah.
Like, there'd been a lot of stuff going on, different opportunities, which I'll get to. But so this was like September 8th. This is when it happened. Sorry, my mom's coming up. Are you just listening? Yeah. Well, I'm being interviewed.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Anthony. My mom says hi.
Hi, Sister Schultz.
Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it.
Yeah, go for it.
For those I haven't told, I've been heavily considering taking a 3-month door-to-door sales job next summer. I've had several meetings with the boss in New York. He loves me, and the job sounds like a great experience. Last night, as I was driving to Young Men's, it hit me that I would soon be leaving on my own. After seminary today, I came home and just had the thought to sit down and read my scriptures. This surprised me because I knew I would be late for school if I did so, but I sat down. Once I plopped myself on the couch, I began to ponder what I should read. I had the Book of Mormon in front of me, but only had about 5 minutes to read and or study something. I decided to try something that's helped me in the past, try a strategy that's helped me in the past, which is this: saying a quick prayer, flipping open the book, and letting the Lord speak to me through whatever I read. So I closed the book, I said a prayer, and I riffled my thumb from the front cover until about the middle of the text. This just so happens to be my triple combination, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, that I was reading through. And so I was riffling through, and I stopped. It felt random, like a magician shuffling a deck of cards, but the Lord knew exactly what I needed to read. I opened my book where the thumb rested and looked down at the words. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 15, looked back up at me. Right before I started reading, I was reminded of a study technique I had discussed in our Priest Quorum Mission Prep class, which is substituting names. So the technique is simple. If the scripture refers to someone by name, typically when God is giving a commandment to someone, simply insert your name in place of theirs, and it's pretty cool. So in this case, John Whitmer was who God was speaking to initially in this section of Doctrine and Covenants. But I inserted my name for his. Hearken, so and this is the scripture. Hearken, my servant Logan, and listen to the words of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Redeemer. For behold, I speak unto you with sharpness and with power, for mine arm is over all the earth. And I will tell you that which no man knoweth, save me and thee alone. For many times you have desired of me to know that which would be of the most worth unto you, which I had. That's what I'd been wondering about for so long. Is what's going to be the best for me and for you? And you know, basically, Lord, what would you have me do? Behold, blessed are you for this thing and for speaking my words, which I have given you according to my commandments. And now, behold, I say unto you that the thing which will be of the most worth unto you will be to declare repentance unto this people, that you may bring souls unto me, that you may rest with them in the kingdom of my Father. Amen. I hate to sound cliche, but I had never had a scripture before spoken so plainly and so directly to my soul and to my heart. It fully and thoroughly addressed my fears, concerns, and worries about the questions of my mind and heart. The Lord would have me serve a mission as soon as I can after I graduate. Immediately after I read and reread this black and white call to action, I jumped off the couch, goofy grin plastered to my face, and ran to the balcony overlooking my mom and brother below, where I proudly proclaimed, "Mom, God has told me exactly what I'm going to do next summer, and it's go on a mission." I know that answers don't always come immediately. I spent a long time pondering, thinking, and praying about what I should do, but they do come. To whom it may concern, I do testify today that God is our loving Heavenly Father, and that He is involved in all aspects of our lives. God has a plan for us. He cares about every one of us and wants us to succeed and fully submit to His plan for us. I know that when we submit to His will, He will make us better than we could have imagined. One of my favorite scriptures says, "Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and He will direct thee for good." That's Alma 37:37. And I know this is true. I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father for answering my prayers, and I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dang, Logan.
So that was my immediate experience. So I read this section in Doctrine and Covenants, and then I just wrote this. Let me explain a little bit here. So I don't know, for the past like 2 or 3 years, I've been trying to include my testimony in my journal entries, just because I figure, well, you know, I want my kids or my grandkids or whomever to read my journals, because I think that, you know, I have some life experience that might be of some benefit to someone out there. And so I figure, well, you know, why not share my testimony? You know, what if it's someone that's not a member and they read my testimony and they're like, "Hey, this church is pretty cool. Like, he had some good experience." So anyways, I try to leave my testimony in there. But also for this summer, I don't know why I didn't include this in my intro there, But so for this summer, I had a lot of stuff that could potentially go on. So I'd been offered this job. I'd working that sales company in New York, and it sounded like a ton of fun. Like, they did so much stuff together. I mean, obviously it's sales, so it's like return missionary stuff. But the guy sounded super great. I had a friend that worked there, and she was like, "Oh, this is the greatest thing ever." I had other jobs that I could have taken more local to me. My mom wanted me to stay, just to stay the summer, because she's been going to school the past 4 years to get her master's degree. So she's been kind of MIA all the time, most of the time that she's while also working part time. I forgot to mention. So either she's working at the hospital or she's at home studying. And so she's kind of been like, "Wait, I've been robbed of your whole high school experience," which, you know, is fair to say to some extent. But so she was like, "Oh, you should stay the summer because I'll be graduated by then and we can spend it together." And so I had my mom. I had these jobs. I could have gone to school. I didn't know if I should go to a year of BYU before I left. And so all of these things were just weighing on my mind all the time, just constantly. I mean, it's the start of senior year is like, it's like a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on. So to finally have this answer so plain and so direct, I mean, it was just, I can't even describe it.
Wow. That's absolutely insane. I think, I don't know, like, the way that you describe your spiritual experiences are super unique, and I think it's super cool that you have that gift of, like, articulating the feeling of the spirit so well. Like, that's super cool.
Oh, thank you.
I guess I just wanted to ask a few questions. What would be your advice for somebody who's considering to serve a mission, but they're going back and forth?
Well, what would I say to someone that's considering? I would say that, that's a good question. It's interesting because I haven't actually, you know, I haven't left on my mission yet. So I can't really speak as to how it is to be on a mission, but if to them, I would say never turn down an opportunity to trust in the Lord and make yourself better. Mm-hmm. So whether that be on a mission, or whether that be at school for a year, or whether that be getting married, like some sister, some of my friends that I've known, or I would just say include the Lord in every decision. And it might not be something I just got lucky with this kind of direct answer. Usually, most of the time for me, it's I receive revelation, you know, more slowly, and but include the Lord in your decision. He cares about all of us, and He will 100%, if you ask, He will 100% answer, and He will tell you, "This is what is my plan for you, and this is what I know that you need." And so, yeah, I think that that's what I would say. Include the Lord. He wants to guide you, to lead you, to help you grow, but also never turn down an opportunity to make yourself better, right? Spiritually, socially. I mean, going on a mission is hard. I'm not trying to plug, like, "Hey, you should go on a mission," but, like, you should.
For sure. What advice would you give to somebody who feels like they don't recognize the whisperings of the Spirit in their life? They just feel distant from Heavenly Father, and that, like, I don't know, they just don't know how to make that connection, or they don't know what the Spirit even feels like for them.
Yes. So I have to say, right now, this is kind of me. So I just recently, and I would say maybe the last year or so, I haven't really felt like I guess, you know, with the exception of that missionary, like, going on a mission moment, I don't feel like I've been getting a lot of bit. Well, actually, now looking back on it, I'm totally lying. But it's because I don't know. What would I say? I would say, side note, plug. You want to know why I just remembered that I was totally just lying to you like 5 seconds ago? Because of my journal. So if you're not keeping a journal already, you should do it. Even if it's like voice recordings or typed or handwritten, or even if it's pictures, keep some sort of journal because it'll keep you honest. But to the person that feels like they're not feeling the spirit, I would say do everything you feel as though you're supposed to do, and don't try to put a box around how you feel the spirit. To the sense of sometimes it doesn't feel big or super impactful. Sometimes, like for myself, I just go, you know, I really need to feel something, and I'll go serve. Like I'll go clean the kitchen, or I'll just pick up my room and say a prayer and read the scriptures. And it might not feel life-changing or day-changing or anything, but I'll just pay attention. And I'll say, well, you know, maybe I'll feel the spirit later, or maybe later in my day. What sometimes will happen is that scripture that I read earlier in the day, I'll get the opportunity to use it. And so I think that just being aware and not trying to put a box around, this is how I feel the spirit, because it changes and it's different on a day to day basis. Yeah. The other thing I would say that helps a ton is flipping the gratitude switch. Shout out Brother Clayson, wherever he is. But when I was at EFY, I don't know, several years ago, my freshman year of high school, or going into my freshman year of high school, is over the summer. He taught this analogy. So it's flip. F stands for find out what's bugging you. So this is something that you can apply when you feel like you're in a bad situation. Whether that's spiritually, physically, wherever you are. And these are some steps to shift your attitude. So the F in flip stands for find out what's bugging you. The L stands for look for what's awesome. The I is initiate gratitude. And then the P, he has this saying. He says power up with hashtag gratifuel. So what and how I would apply that to this situation is find out what's bugging me. So when I'm in a spiritual slump, I say, well, you know, this doesn't feel good. Like I just feel kind of empty. And then I'll start to look for the little miracles in my life or even if they're not miracles, you know, I'll just say like, look for what's awesome. Like, hey, the other day, my Dietrich and I, played guitar and drums together 30 minutes. And that was really cool. Like, I'm grateful for my brother. Or, hey, Peyton and I had a really, that's my sister, my younger sister, Peyton. Hey, Peyton and I had this cool conversation about high school on the way home from her lacrosse practice. I'm grateful for my sister. Or, you know, I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful that I have a bed to sleep in. I'm grateful that I have food. I'm grateful that I have a piano at my house that I can play. Or, you just start thinking about things like that. And even if they're not, you know, big things, like I'm grateful for food. But it starts to just totally shift your perspective. And this flip has totally changed everything for me. And I know that sounds super cliche, but there have been some situations, like some camping trips that I've been on, I'm like, this sucks. Like, this is just terrible. And then I'll think, wait, how can I flip this? You know, yes, this, it's hot and buggy and this is just miserable. The food stinks. But then I can think, but I'm here with my friends and I got to shoot a shotgun for the first time. And nature is really pretty, even if it's hot. And you know, we get to swim in the lake tomorrow, or, you know, whatever it is. And then when you think of one thing, you think of another thing, and then you think of another thing, and then you've initiated that gratitude. That's the I piece. And then the more things you think of, that's the P. And then it's just like, boom, 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 boom. And then it's too much. And so I think that has been another thing that has helped me when I struggle to feel the spirit, that's something that I've used to help me shift my perspective. So
yeah, that's so interesting to hear that acronym and that practice, because I think that like formula is actually pretty common in like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is super interesting. Yeah. Like the practice of like recognizing, acknowledging, and then moving on, and then implementing a piece of like gratitude, which is an aspect of positive psychology, is super cool. So that's super interesting to hear about, that somebody acronymed that thing.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal speaker. I went to all of his classes, but
yeah, that's super cool. Well, my last question is, what is your advice to somebody who's struggling to gain a testimony?
This is it, right? This is the
crowning jewel. It's the new spot.
So I've grown up with some of my closest friends that tell me that they've struggled with building their testimonies. And they say that the thing that has helped them the most is surrounding themselves with good people. And so I guess I can speak to that, because it's true, and it's true for me as well. If you're struggling to build that testimony and that reliance on your own beliefs and that sort of thing, surround yourself with people that are better than you, and with people that are good examples in everything that they do and the things that they say and in their testimonies. And their spirit will lift you up. And I know that to be true because I surround myself with people that are better than me. And it makes me a better person. And when I'm surrounded by spiritual giants, you know, I look around and I go, oh, I can feel it. And then I feel as though I start to grow. And so if you're struggling to find those experiences, listen to others. I mean, this is why I think that this podcast is so awesome, because you're providing an outlet for people that are looking for spiritual experiences that maybe they just haven't had yet in their own lives, or they haven't seen yet in their own lives. It's providing an outlet for people to see others and to be strengthened by others. And I think there's such power in that. The other thing I would say is, I know I've said this like 100 times, people get sick of me, I sound like a broken record, but journal. Journal the things you're grateful for. Journal how your day went. Journal how you feel. Journal the stupid things. I mean, I write down so many things that I look back a year later and I go, I really said that? Like, man, I was a stupid 16-year-old. But it helps. It helps me so much to recognize how I've grown in all aspects of my life, or how I haven't grown, or how some things helped me grow and other things didn't. And, you know, some things made me worse. And so I would say surrounding yourself with people that are better than you, and record. I mean, journal. That's what I would say. Yeah. And those are things that have helped me to constantly be strengthening and building my testimony. So
that's super cool. Logan, thank you so much for your vulnerability and your honesty on today's podcast. I really enjoyed this episode. I felt the spirit super strong. I hope the listeners did too.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was cool.
Thank you guys so much for listening to that episode. I felt the spirit a ton, and more than anything, felt inspired to start journaling and seeking out those spiritual experiences. For updates on when new episodes come out, follow the podcast Instagram at gain_a_testimony and email or DM me for any suggestions or ideas. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.